Here's who else is going to have to scrap. It's the Philadelphia Eagles to fight the fight to keep the tush push. All right. Let's get to Roger Goodell. This happened over the weekend. John, as you know, we've been so immersed in draft audio, draft picks, and commentary, and you know, and guests we've had on, and all this stuff. We haven't even gotten yet as a show to what Roger Goodell, and there was so much going on the weekend, I'm sure there's some people that miss this, what Roger Goodell said on ESPN when interviewed about the tush push. Let's get to it right now. So Goodell is on set with the ESPN crew. He's talking about the tush push. This is at the draft. So you're going to hear background noise because you got the crowd there out there in Green Bay talking in the background. But Goodell and the tush push. This is so clear that he wants it out. And the Eagles are going to have to fight to try to keep it. Here's Roger Goodell a couple days ago on the tush push.
Where are we with the tush push? What do you in the next 3-4 months? Is anything going to happen?
Yeah, we're going to bring it back up. The competition committee, we've been talking about it. And we, you know, I think the idea is to look back about our history, right? Since 1920 to 2005, you couldn't push or pull a player anywhere on the field. And is that a football play is the question. And a lot of coaches would tell you that's not part of football, right? It may be rugby, but it's not us. The second thing is really the safety of the game, and that's primary importance to us. Is it a play that is unsafe when you're in those positions where you're getting pushed or pulled and you can't control where you're going? Those are the two factors. On the other side, you know, there's a legitimate argument that everyone can do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if somebody does it better than the others, that's the way the game's played. So I understand that argument, but that's also the great thing about the league. We have 32 clubs, there'll be 24 votes. If it's 24 votes, that means people have a pretty strong view of what should happen.
It's so clear he wants it out.
It's gone.
Well, we don't know that.
I am not confident, man.
We listen.
When he says
Goodell wants it gone badly.
When he says there was no pushing or pulling since, you know, whatever it was, the 1920s.
Yeah,
that's a bad
sign. But remember, he's got to convince, I think the number is 8 or it might be 9, other owners who voted.
Well, no, there are already some on the side. He only has to convince the one. So he's convinced like 3 or 4, whatever it is.
It was 16-16.
Yeah.
He's got to convince 9 to switch their vote to get to 25 to get it out. That's a lot of owners to switch. Now, listen, maybe he gets it done, maybe he doesn't. I mean, if you remember, the NBA eventually changed their tanking stuff, and there is still tanking, but they changed those ping pong balls, but not for the lottery, but not during the heart of when the Sixers were tanking. And there was one year when, I forget if it was Silver or Stern, I think it was Silver, really wanted it changed.
It was Silver.
This year. And it didn't get changed till the next year, and that's part of how the Philly Sixers still had the tanking that one. It got one of the picks, Fultz, Simmons, whichever one it was. Look,
I think we made the most of it.
Yeah, I wish we could go back in time.
Woohoo!
So I'm still the only one here that wants to tush push out, right?
Yes, you are. Yeah. And did you notice?
He will continue to
the
be
crowd
forever
cheering when he talked about that.
Yeah,
it wasn't
Green,
a football
Green
play
Bay crowd
because it was
They're
Green
loving.
Bay losers.
Yeah.
Mm. Speaking of losers, can we give a shout out to Doc Rivers?
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
They had a 7-point lead.
Hold on. No, no. They lost 4-1. We're not giving Doc enough credit for the one game they won. Okay? Let's remember that. All right?
Here's what I say about Doc Rivers. Cheers. Well, that was really bad.
Oh, no. You're one good.
You know why? Because I was saying cherish, and
it's
I got confused.
Treasure.
I got to get treasure. Here, Doc Rivers. Treasure him.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's very good.
The reason it stunk is I had the wrong word, and I realized it early. I was saying cherish is the wrong word. By the way, good night in the NBA. And I am enjoying the NBA playoffs.
They've been entertaining.
Been good series. The ratings are up. I'm happy for the NBA. But here's the thing. You got to play in the regular season. You can't just make it a 2-month experience.
Yep.
If you do, you're going to hurt yourself. Now, right now, look, right now, players are playing. And
it's entertaining.
And there have been good games, and there have been good series. The Knicks going back to Detroit for Game 6 after losing last night.
A little dangerous for them.
Giannis is out. He lost last night. LeBron could be out really soon. There's a lot of topsy-turvy NBA. Andy Reid, 8:45 with us today on the show. Let's listen to more of Roger Goodell because he continued on. And I think the more you listen to him, in my opinion, the more clear it is that he wants a tush push gone.
It was split, right? 16-16, allegedly?
There were different concepts that were discussed. I would say there was a split. There wasn't an overwhelming push either way. But I think there's as people see the different things that the committee's been considering and hear the conversation, I think that they'll actually develop a consensus.
You know how we talk about this is if Roger Goodell wants something to go through, it's going to go through.
Top.
Yeah.
And so we assume the same thing with the Tush push, whatever the iteration is, whether it's you can't have two people pushing, one person put, whatever the...
Or should it be all over the field, Pat? Go back. Should we go back to the old rule where you couldn't push or pull a player anywhere on the field?
So he brings that up. He, you can tell he's so dug in on his opinion. He's saying, and maybe it's a way for him in the NFL to not look like they're trying to out the Eagle, not out.
To do it all over the Eagles. Field.
Yeah.
That's what I took from that, too. It's like, oh, that's a loophole.
We're not bad guys at the Eagles. We'll do it to all the teams in all the instances. No pushing a running back by John Runyon 7 yards down the field.
All right.
We'll see. Let's go to the phones.
They're your people, Joe.
Well, so this is one of the
rules. Shouldn't you be cheering for him right now?
I'm pro Belichick. Yeah. I'm anti Tush Push. I do have my positions that I know don't put me in good favor with the public. I will change my opinion before I run for president because obviously winning Pennsylvania is very key. And right now, I'm not in good
shape. You'll be a typical politician. You'll change your mind to get votes.
That's right. I voted for it until I voted against it.
I voted for it, but I promise next time I'll vote against it. I promise. Exactly. Just trust me.
All right. Rick in Easton. Rick, what's going on, dude?
Good morning. So you hit on most of the points I wanted to make. This team, you know, they're the team and the bullpen, they're killing our starters' win-loss records. It's incredible.
No question.
But, you know, when the win-loss records really matter anymore, the way starters leave the game in the sixth inning. But that's a story for a different day. You also mentioned we have to be solid up the middle. Isn't it interesting, without Turner and Rojas' offense, they lose this game, but Turner and Rojas' defense made this game so tight and crazy.
As Alanis Morissette said 30 years ago, isn't it ironic,
Rick? Amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. And now Kirk Green is becoming Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
It's like he's either really, really good, or he gives up that home run on every other outing. It's just like, and somebody alluded to it earlier, it's going to be a challenge for this team to, you know, get to the playoffs. Even if they do, how deep can they really go?
Well, they can go really deep because we've seen before. Look,
they have to change the bullpen. They can't.
I agree with that.
This team, as constructed right now, cannot go deep. They have to get better. It's not good enough, the bullpen.
Because even if the main three, who are Alvarado, Strom, and Kirk Green, even if they get their act together, you need more than three in the postseason. I think you need like five. And they just... Now, some of the starting pitchers are going to go in there and blah, blah, blah. We can talk about that forever. So maybe that changes it. But and by the way, Devin, you were there when Rob Thompson was talking. So Ranger, it sounds like it's going to be back soon.
Yeah.
They're still trying to figure out exactly when that happens, but it could be really soon.
It could be really soon. It could be in the next, you know, few weeks. I think they're still trying to iron out Christopher Sanchez is starting today, and then Taiwan Walker, and then the rest of the rotation is TBD. So
but Rangers throwing today.
He's throwing a bullpen today.
In Philly.
Yes.
So they're going to get their eyes on him, and he could be as soon as next week, it sounds like.
Yeah, and he's looked really good in Lehigh Valley. They're really just making sure he's, like, totally, totally healthy before they bring him up.
Yeah, which makes sense when you consider last year when he came back, he wasn't really good.
He was a shell of himself.
He was a shell. So I think they're trying, and I'll say this. I don't know what his agent's saying to the Phillies, but I would guess the agent is probably saying to the Phillies, I want my guy super sharp. Because
for
I
his
don't,
push, yeah.
For his free agent push. You
and
don't
look, backs are nothing to mess with, too.
That's true as well. Rick, there's a lot going on with the Phillies. Rick, give me a big answer. Best speech you ever heard in a movie?
This is one that I can never stop watching every time I see it come apart. The opening statement, Al Pacino in And Justice for All, is an incredible speech.
You got it, Rick.
You're out of order. He's out of this whole courtroom's out of order.
So, you know, we're getting a lot of Al Pacino here, guys, today.
What does that say?
There is a lot of Al Pacino.
He's good at speeches, and the guy gets it.
It's like
a needle in a haystack finding
He's my hero for that line. Scratch my back, baby.
It's in the middle of like the guitar song. It's so hard to find.
It is kind of an obnoxious line, but then again, I like obnoxious. No. Good morning. Shout out to Cameron and John Ritchie. All right, Andy Reid.
Who's my man? Me!
Oh, well, yeah, that's so. Andy Reid, 8:45 today. We've got a lot to cover with Big Red. We're going to focus primarily on the BG thing. That's, you know, John is getting Andy on through an intermediary. Of course, John played for Andy for two seasons because we're honoring Brandon Graham on Monday next week. And Andy drafted Brandon Graham. And that was a controversial pick. And boy, oh boy, did it work out. Earl Thomas was, you know, for 5 or 6 years there, you know, I think he was the best safety in football. I mean, I'd have to figure out when Ed Reed ended and when Doc ended and when Troy Polamalu ended. But I think there was a stretch last decade when, you know, clearly Earl Thomas was the best safety in football and was part of a legendary defense. And they won one title and got to a second. Well, Brandon Graham played a lot longer than Earl Thomas, won two titles and got to three with the Birds. So Big Red, who drafted BG all those years ago, will join us coming up at 8:45 to talk about Brandon's tremendous career, pay tribute to him. We'll touch on some other stuff with Andy as well. John, when's the last time you talked to your old coach?
Not sure.
Good man.
Did we talk to him on a
Seltzer was talking to me at the same time,
I
could barely hear what you said right there. You said last year?
You said not sure.
Oh, I thought you said last year. James was killing me in my ear.
Well, I had to tell you something in your ear.
All right, not for a while. Well, we'll connect John and his former coach coming up in about 20 minutes. Three station things to just take care of. Number one, John, I owe you a dollar. Let me make it official right now. For everyone watching on YouTube, I pay when I owe. John, I owe you a dollar because last week you knew that Joe Exotic was the guy that got married from jail. We went from $10 to $5 to $1. Sir, I pay. It's not a bet. I just pay my debts like the Lannisters. And so a buck to you. Second thing.
Cool.
I understand that.
I didn't know that. I didn't remember that.
What's you got a lot in common with the Lannisters.
You go from 10 to 5 to 1.
I gave you a couple of hints. I gave you hints. And instead of whoever gets it first gets a dollar. And you said Joe Exotic, you know, for getting married. Oh. I said, who's this guy's name?
Well, that Joe seems kind of crappy that you whittled it down to a dollar.
None of you guys got it right on the.
You couldn't get it right.
All the
guesses. You don't remember this?
Don't blame me.
It's not.
All right, second station thing. Fritz, it is my understanding that on air yesterday there was no response to what I put out there about Jack pitching to me in baseball and I got to get on base a certain percentage of time. He can bring all the defenders he wants, whether it's Jimmy Rollins at shortstop or Trey Turner at shortstop. He can bring eight defenders and Fritz as the pitcher and I got to get on base a certain amount of time and 10 at-bats. James, I've been told there was no response.
No, but there was a mention about something else that you've said before that I didn't know that was a caveat. So apparently the last time you faced Fritz, he was only allowed to throw fastballs.
I wasn't told
that. That's what he said. He said he was not allowed to throw off speed stuff to you.
I have no knowledge of that.
That's what he said on the air yesterday.
I find that hard to believe.
That's what he was told.
Don't buy it. Because at fantasy camp, of course pitchers pitch different pitches.
I'm just saying what Jack said on the air. I can grab the audio if you want.
No, sure, but that's his fault. So we'll deal with that. But Fritz, I'm putting it out there to you, man. You get to be the pitcher. I'm the hitter. I got to get on base a certain amount of time and a certain amount of at-bats. Ball's in your court. Respond. Third thing. Seltzer, like four times today, I see you spraying a bottle in there. What is going on? Is this leftover stink from Fritz yesterday?
The studio smelled a little bit this morning. You know? Oh, boy.
It's
I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus or anything. It's just a little, you know.
It's funky. Stinky.
I should move on then.
You move on. I just have to spray a little.
Can I blame it on Fritz from 20 hours ago?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Fritz,
go for it.
Take a shower. Let's go to the phones. 215. Sorry.
I smelled a lot of cleaning.
Yeah, I was trying not to put that out there, but hey, you know, sometimes it gets out.
When I walked
in this
morning.
You know, our show's on YouTube, so people can see this.
Not if I do it during the commercial breaks, Joe, which is what I've been doing because I didn't want to air dirty laundry.
Speaking of,
literally.
You can see on YouTube, did you?
What?
I hope YouTube didn't catch the giant saliva string that just shot out of his mouth and was hanging off of
there
his
was
lips while he was saying that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there was some.
Oh, my gosh, Joe.
Sorry.
Anthony, our video guy, if it did catch it, we could use like a meme or a gif of that or something.
Slow it
would be
down
cool.
And pause it. That might be a meme right there. Anyway.
It's a meme.
Yeah. No.
Or a gif.
Gif.
Joe and his saliva.
Gif.
All right. Mm. So you be the judge on any of this stuff. Hey, also, we have the Twitter. You can be the judge on the Twitter poll question of the day. Two of them, actually. Both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's certified one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. First poll question, do you like Rob Thompson not having one set leadoff hitter? Yesterday, we had people complaining that you got to put Schwarber back in there and park because Schwarber wasn't hitting well at 3-4. Well, then Schwarber went deep yesterday, and Trey, of course, went 4-4. I'm fine with flipping back and forth, but I know a lot of people don't like it. You can vote on that. Other poll question. Tockett is available. Rick Tockett, no longer the Canucks coach. That news came out yesterday. Do you want Rick Tockett to be the Flyers' next head coach, yes or no? We're going to get to this Jahad Campbell-related audio from Mike Mayock earlier this week on the station. It's very interesting about the injury stuff. That shortly, Andy Reid in 20 minutes. Joe in Mayfair right now. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, team. What a frustrating morning this is. And, Joe, they're not a championship team. They're not a playoff team. They don't have a playoff manager. They don't have a playoff catcher. I don't even know where to start with this Phillies. It went from a major league pitching game yesterday to watching a little league game in the eighth inning.
I know.
It was literally a little league game. I thought I was at the game watching little league from the eighth inning on.
It was bad.
So where I'm going to start is Topper's decision making is completely baffling to me. In a game where you got your ace on the mound, two outs, and he doesn't like to use a bullpen guy to finish an inning and start an inning. So you basically waste Strom, and your bullpen's depleted as is. So pulling Wheeler to me with a lead still with one more out to go, 106 pitches on a warm night to me was the beginning of the end for Topper for me.
It is late April, meaning it's not October. I mean, 106.
You needed that game when your bullpen's depleted, and you just wasted your lefty, and there's lefties the following inning. Like, and then you have Alvarado, who's the new Mitch Williams. At least I saw a ton of emotion from that guy when he got out of that base of the jam.
No question.
As always.
Yeah.
JT's pitch calling, throwing a sweeper into a left-hander, like I'm sitting there like this high heat, his fastball was grooving, and he throws another sweeper down and in, and he golfs it out. Like, a JT to
me, didn't he shake that one off? Wasn't after the game we learned that Kirkring shook JT off on that home run? And Kirkring went and missed, and that's why he was able to golf it out of there?
If I'm JT, I'm putting that same fastball down the entire time. I'm JT Realmuto. I am calling for a fastball.
That's tricky, Joe. Joe, the pitcher has the ball, man.
Then I would have called a timeout and went to the mound. I mean, like, there's the detail in this team's not there. Like, on a daily basis, there's something not there with this team. I mean, they go fishing and they play golf more than they do baseball this year. Seriously, I mean.
Well, to be fair, they scored seven runs last night. So was it seven? Seven, six?
Seven.
Seven. I mean, you know, Joe, I mean, they did hit a decent amount. I mean, Trey Turner had four hits.
Okay, and he also swung at a ball 55 feet. Like, I mean, seriously, like little leaguers don't swing at that pitch.
Joe, here's the deal. I guess what I'm trying to say. I'm frustrated too, but I'm not as far down the road as you are. I mean, you're making it sound like they can't win, and I think that's foolish.
Well, something needs to change in that clubhouse for them to win because there's something missing on this team for the first 30 games. There's something that's not right because their heads are up to you-know-whats is mostly on a daily basis. Washington gave them that game last night. Real quick, don't want Tockett, want Jeff Daniels' assistant from Carolina. I don't want to go backwards to the retreads and that old philosophy. You need someone who can teach, educate, motivate, and develop young talent, which the Flyers do have. They don't have anyone in place to develop young talent, and Tockett's never done that, so you can't go that route. And I'm going to go with my movie quote, the best actor for me of all time with quotes is Morgan Freeman. So I'm going to go Red from Shawshank Redemption getting out of prison.
That's an interesting one. Meaning when he's in front of the board?
Correct.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because his whole thing is, I don't care if you let me out. And then they finally let him out. Okay. Fair enough.
Would it have counted as a speech, the voiceover? Because I thought he was talking about once he gets out, that whole voiceover. Because like that's a speech, a different kind of speech, but a speech, right?
That's why I was asking which one. I was thinking it's
get busy living it, the whole thing.
Yeah, one of those. He's got that in a new commercial. Notice he doesn't finish the sentence. He says, get busy living. But he probably doesn't have the rights to then say, get busy, you know, or get busy.
Just wanted to see my friend again.
Right. All right, coming up in a minute, really interesting audio from Mike Mayock on Eagles first-round draft pick Jahad Campbell and the injury status related to his knee and his shoulder.
Mother's Day. It's time to honor the moms in our lives, the ones who gave you unconditional love on your worst days, and those women who hold your home together, mom to your children, and she's your best friend too. Now it's time, and it's your turn to give back with the timeless gift from Benari Jewelers. Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square is your destination for timeless, beautiful, and meaningful gifts for all those we call mom. Show your gratitude and love with the classic diamond earrings, a stunning diamond bracelet, an elegant diamond pendant, or the perfect forever symbol of your gratitude, a sophisticated diamond eternity band. Or browse Benari's extensive collection of famed designer David Yurman, with the largest selection of David Yurman in all of Greater Philadelphia, from cable and chain bracelets to pendants with eye-catching precious colored stones. Whatever you choose, Benari promises exceptional quality and uncompromising craftsmanship. Just what mom deserves. Benari Jewelers, Exton and Newtown Square.
All right, Jenna Cameron and John Ritchie on this Wednesday morning, along with Devin Seltzer and Rhea. Wonderful to have you with us. Andy Reid will be with us in 15 minutes to pay tribute to Brandon Graham. We got BG Day on Monday here at WIP. Andy's going to be in an OTA that day, so he wasn't able to join us coming up on Monday, scheduling-wise. So through John, able to get Andy on today's show. We look forward to talking to Big Red in 15 minutes. Let's also talk about the Eagles' first-round draft pick from last week, Jahyd Campbell, and play some audio of Mike Mayock with Spike, Ike, and Jack this week talking about the injury stuff. You know, John, the knee was new information for us in recent days after our show on Friday. Like, we were all like, you know, hopefully the shoulder's no big deal. The knee.
I still can't find out what the issue is.
Well, I don't know exactly, but I know this. Word went around before the draft, and I know it because Mike Mayock said it. Listen to Mayock with Spike a couple days ago.
So, you know, what we heard was that Jahyd Campbell was slipping because of the shoulder issue. A labral tear in his shoulder had surgery. It doesn't seem to me, hearing about that surgery, that would cause that sort of drop. Is there any insight you can give as to why that sort of thing would be such a red flag?
There was a late conversation that went around the league about a knee issue also.
Okay. And it seems like he had a scope in 23, I think. And
but something came up again.
Okay.
Last month of the draft about his knee. And I can tell you, when I was with the Raiders, like, we would, depending on the doctor, a doctor might say you're meeting with the head coach and the GM, and you've got your doctors in, and you're going through all the red flags. And a doctor might say something like, at most, you'll get one contract out of him. He's got a chronic knee. Or, you know, that's a common thing you might hear from a doctor. Okay? And then a GM and a head coach have to sit down and say, well, wait a minute. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that about a player. He's got one contract in him, and he plays 10 years in the league without a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it does happen. Look, both situations happen. Sometimes guy has great career, long career. Sometimes due to shutdown quick and early. I mean, look, I don't know which way this is going to cut, but it's obviously notable that the shoulder and the knee, and by the way, they're saying knees, not knee, okay. Knees.
And I maintain that every linebacker worth his salt is going to have all sorts of shoulder problems.
But I maintain some have it worse than others.
Okay. And
right?
I'm telling you, I think guys get scoped. Guys get scoped at every level, high school, college, NFL, and usually they come back from that the week after. And once the swelling's out and they're fine,
sure. But
take Joel Embiid, it's different than basketball.
But injuries are injuries. I mean, Joel's had more injuries than Moses Malone. There are, John, you had more injuries than Tom Rathman. You played 7 years. He played over 10.
I mean, and it does, to Spike's point, it does help. Like, the labral thing didn't seem like a big enough reason for this guy to go from a top 10 talent to 31st in the draft. Like, this does make the whole situation make more sense.
Makes more
whatever
sense.
Whatever the issue is.
Yeah, both good and bad. Good is getting him. Bad is, like, maybe it won't be a long and productive
Landon
career.
Dickerson was in the boat, and we haven't had... Well, we've had Landon Dickerson in and out of games at times, but for the most part, he's put together all pro seasons at guard for the Eagles.
But then there's Sidney Jones, who, you know, had that Achilles injury and could never get on track. All right, here's more of Mayock as he continued on talking about this situation.
Your owner sits in a lot of those meetings, and you do have to be very cognizant and aware that if you draft a kid that technically has a problem that your doctor identified, and he gets hurt year one with a knee and never plays again, and you took him in the first round, he's going to look at you as the GM. So you've got to be very aware of all that stuff. But the Eagles obviously looked at it and said, it's not a problem for us,
And we've got the infrastructure that we believe in.
All right, so Mayock, I'll say this. I don't know that I would agree with Mike saying there at the end, it's not a problem for us. I would view it more like it's the Eagles saying, we'll take the chance. I mean, because, you know,
the risk reward works for us
like
here.
It's worth us taking the risk. But, I mean, I'm sure the Eagles know it's a risk. I mean, I would certainly think. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. But that's an important piece of info to know about the first-round pick.
Because it's the last time we did not bring our first-round pick in for a top 30 visit.
Andre Dillard.
Was it Dillard?
It was Dillard. Yeah, that was the last time.
Interesting.
It just bodes so poorly. But, you know, I hate to put two and two together like that, but that is something to think about.
It is, but also notable that they probably thought they had almost no shot to get Jahad Campbell.
Well, that's exactly what it was with Andre Dillard.
And you're right about that. And the other thing is Jahad Campbell going to other teams thinking, well, I'm not going to fall to the Eagles. I mean, it's possible the Eagles wanted him in, and he's like, I don't want to go to the team with the 32nd pick. Like, I'm going in the early teens. What am I going to the team in Philly with the 32nd pick? They can't trade up for me in the mid-teens. So that might have been they wanted him, and he might not have wanted to come in. I mean,
I think that's far less likely. If I thought I was going
10, I'm not going to the team with 32.
I think it's more likely if the Eagles didn't. I don't think that would happen. I think he would show up because teams can trade up. I think it's more likely the Eagles were like, we're never getting up to get him. Let's not have him in because we're not going to have a chance to get him anyway. I think that's more likely.
That could cut either way. All right, let's get to Ken right now in Devon. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, team. The best 4 hours of my day.
Thank you, sir.
Very kind of you.
Let's talk about another Pacino soliloquy.
Oh, man, we got another Pacino speech. What do you got?
This is top dog, the devil's advocate.
Oh, wow.
I'm a fan of man.
That's so good, man. That's so good.
Better than Keanu's southern accent in that movie, that's for sure.
Can we talk about Bryce being below the Mendoza line in terms of him? He's not.
You mean in a certain span of time, right?
I think he's at 231 right now for the season.
Yeah. I mean, he weighs 210. He's close. He's very close. And his at-bats, he's with it.
Yeah, he's really been struggling, Ken, obviously, quite a bit. After a good start, I mean, he was really good in the first, I would say probably 2 weeks. And then really bad in the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully they're going to turn it around. They got a big series this weekend. Huge.
Yeah. Now, listen, I mean, they got a lot of opportunity. And Ken, appreciate the call, my man. But, you know, look, 5 months to go. We're just wrapping up here the first month. I know they start at the end of March, but you guys catch the drift. And this is the last day of April, May 1st tomorrow. One of those benchmark, you know, dates, obviously, in the calendar. Start of a new month, end of a new month, whichever way you want to frame it. A long way to go, but if there's one thing to me that's crystal clear in the first month of the season, crystal clear, is it's no guarantee the Phillies make the playoffs. That to me is crystal clear. They're going to have to scrap to make it. They certainly have it within them to do that, but it's going to take some work because there's some other good teams, and the Phillies have not clicked on all cylinders. Let's get to John right now in Lower Merion. John, good morning. Hey, Johnny, go ahead, buddy. All right, John, there. Let's go to Ken. Ken calling from Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Hi, Ken. How are you?
John, I was out in your old stomping grounds a couple weeks ago, Northern California. I was back out to wine country with my wife and some friends.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Love it out there. I don't know. It's calling my name. I have to listen to you guys on Odyssey from now on. I'm going to channel my inner Chuck from Jerry Hill this morning. Hope he's doing well. But we talk about this team. Chuck always talks about this team playing the right way, and this team does not play the right way. So when you look at defensively this baseball team, they are forced from the bottom in defensive runs saved. The only two positions that they have that are positive are pitcher and first base. Every other fielding position that this team has, including catcher.
That surprises me on catcher because I think JT's been pretty good. He actually made a really nice play last night, catching that errant tray throw.
I am not nearly as down on JT as it feels like everyone is.
I'm down on his hitting, not his pitching. I think he's going to be the eight-hole hitter in October. I think he's going to bat eighth in the playoffs.
I love JT. JT has been my favorite Philly since they got him because I coveted him when he was a Marlin, and I have an affinity for the catcher position anyway. But The Johan Rojas thing in particular, can we stop pretending that this guy is an elite defender? Just because he's fast and he runs stuff down does not make him an elite defender.
Well, here's the irony, Ken. I really thought year one he was, meaning 2023 when he came up, August or September, what it was in that playoffs, like the play he had against Acuna, but not just that one. I really thought he reminded me a little bit of DeSean Jackson in that he could track a ball exceptionally well and get to a spot. Like he had instincts, and what has baffled me part last year, but really this year, it's like his instincts have gotten worse. That's strange.
Well, I just don't think. Look, part of it might be coaching. I don't know what how they're telling these guys to position themselves and what kind of metrics they're using to say where.
Yeah, but he just misjudged it. I mean, those were two plays where he was positioned to catch the ball when the ball was hit, meaning as long as he takes a good route, reads it off the bat, and runs in a straight enough line, he's going to catch the ball, and he missed both of them.
He looks to me like he's just so arrogant about his ability to run things down that he just it almost looks like he's lazy. If that's the right word, because he's just so arrogant that he's going to be able to outrun his mistakes. And, you know, last night, you know, you see a line drive basically hit right at him. They teach you in midget baseball that, you know, if you're playing the outfield and there's a line drive hit at you, you freeze.
Look, it is. I'll say this. In the limited ways I played baseball, I thought that was the toughest play for an outfielder. I think that the ball hit at you, it is the easiest thing to misjudge, I thought. I mean, when I say right at you, I mean the line, like to your point, the line drive, because it can really trick you. And, you know, and that's why it's so important sometimes to take a step back instead of a step forward. Because if you don't and that ball goes over your head, you're in deep trouble.
Joe, I think with Rojas, like these are real bad mental mistakes that he's making.
They are.
And maybe because we've seen him do it. We've seen him play elite out in center field. I don't think Trey Turner is ever going to be good at shortstop.
There's no question. No question at all. All right, Ken, I got to move, my man. Give me an answer for the best speech ever in a movie.
Well, you know, Henry V, St. Crispin's Day, Kenneth Branagh, so many are built off of that, including Band of Brothers, which is the TV show that everybody loved, comes from the St. Crispin's Day speech from Henry V.
All right, my man. Ken, appreciate that phone call. Andy Reid is going to join us shortly. Hey, Andy Reid in just a couple minutes here on WIP.
If you've spent time building the right roster and earned the fans, then you need the best technology to back it all up. Get rid of those flimsy tablets and slow computers and step up to the game changer and point of sale solutions for restaurants and bars, PDQ POS. Imagine a seamless and lightning fast checkout experience for your customers that saves you money by cutting out those costly fees. Their state-of-the-art technology ensures that transactions are swift, secure, and hassle-free. But that's not all. PDQ Signature Systems is not just a POS system. It's a complete business management solution. Keep track of your inventory, easily manage your staff, and use real-time analytics to optimize your sales. They're user-friendly interface makes it simple for anyone to navigate. Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and upgrade to PDQ Signature Systems. Whether you have one restaurant or hundreds, PDQ will customize a POS solution for your specific needs. Upgrade to the professional point of sale. Visit PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, great to have you on the program with us today. Let's get to Chuck in Cherry Hill. Andy Reid in just a few minutes. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Chuck.
Yeah, great, beautiful spring day here. So we got, you know, you try to put a header over this baseball season and what it's like a journey because we react to the short-term things. That's natural, of course. You know, if fans look at this thing as a 160-day marathon, and in that marathon, there's going to be highs and lows. But, you know, it adjusts itself out. The Phillies do that. But all baseball, look at the Dodgers right now, not playing in a lot of ways, not playing good at all. But they'll be good. You know that. You know, they're probably going to have the best record. But it doesn't look like it right now. So if you find something that's disqualifying, where you say, okay, I'm going to stamp that disqualified, they can't win a World Series, then you got a problem. Now, Joe, earlier you or James said They can't win a World Series.
No, I didn't say. I did not say that.
No. If they continue to play,
I said with the bullpen the way it is now, they can't. Fine. I said that.
Okay, that's fine. That's absolutely perfectly fine. I say this with a middle defense currently. You could say he's going to project to get better, Rojas. I hear you, but he hasn't since his first year with that middle defense right now. I think that's disqualifying to win a World Series. You can't be that weak at shortstop. That week at center field.
Well, Chuck, I'll say this, because I think to the point Rhea made earlier, Rojas' defense is probably going to be okay enough.
That's what everybody said.
But I'll say this, Chuck. Yeah. Trey's defense, I think, is worse than any other part of the team of prominent players. I think he's worse defensively than Castellanos when he chases, than Trey hitting when he I mean, Trey's defense is rough, man, with a capital R, and it's not going to get better. It's not.
So I think because of that, Joe, and it's a three-year trend, I wouldn't even give you the stat because I already have it, how bad it is, worse than league bad. So I do think it warrants a radical change. Other teams have made it with Betts, Altuve. There's many, many more. These guys are great world-class athletes. You can't tell me Turner, with that top five elite speed, can't adjust to center field or left field. And if you did that with Rojas hitting, you got two good things right now. You got Stein and Rojas finally hitting together. That has not happened.
Look, maybe listen, I'll just say this, Chuck, because ultimately I want Trey in the outfield, but maybe the better short time solution in the season, is Trey to second base. Because that's closer to him at shortstop than him having to deal with, you know, balls hit to the outfield. That's a different deal. But, you know, I would like to think, to your point, that him going to second and Stock going to short is an easier, doable transition during the season.
Yep. Okay. As we say,
but I still blame them for not doing any of these changes
back in
you know, November, and say, hey, Trey, grab an outfield glove and shag balls for 4 months and come to spring training ready to go. But they didn't do that.
As I said to one of my executives yesterday, do something there to fix it, and they did. Yeah. So you're exactly right. Try something.
Look at your method of leadership. What you just told the guys: get your head out of your ass. That's what you just.
Yeah, I would also thank Ken from Cincinnati who sent us some baseball tickets yesterday. And I know that's not for radio, but he's a good guy.
He's a good man. Anyway, Chuck, give me an answer for the best speech ever in a movie.
Yeah, this is certainly not that, but Rocky IV. To beat me, you're going to have to kill me. I just love the whole inspiration.
Yeah.
But that's not a winner, but it's something anyway.
Fair enough. First that has been said amongst the callers that are rock-related today, which is hard to imagine. We were discussing earlier, is Adrian's thing at would you say, John, Adrian on the beach is a speech? I think so.
More a soliloquy.
Definitely more of a speech than the win thing.
How about the you can't win, which is Rocky IV at the stairwell? That's when she says he can't be Drago.
I consider a speech when you're talking to an audience, like more than one person.
I agree with that.
So she's just kind of firing up Rocky, then I don't count that as. But like it can be a passionate monologue, but that's not a speech.
Okay, that's an interesting distinction. All right, well, look, you can weigh in at 215-592-9494 for the best speech ever. From a movie. What do you got? Also, we remind you the Twitter poll question of the day. Do you want Rick Tocchet to be back as the next Flyers head coach? He, of course, played for the Flyers two different times. I love Tocchet. He's available, no longer the coach of the Canucks. So we'll see if the Flyers tap Rick Tocchet to be their next coach. Obviously, a lot of choices there. Him, Laviolette, a lot of guys. Bausma's available. Bunch of guys could become the next Flyers head. We hope to connect with Jonesy coming up in the next week or two and get Jonesy on the show, because obviously with Jonesy running the Flyers, we want to get his insight on what's going on with the Orange and the Black. All right, let's talk to Big Red. John, your former coach. I mean, first time on our program here.
Legendary
coach. There's no question.
So Andy Reid. Wow.
14 years with the Eagles, 12 years with the Chiefs, 26 years as a head coach in pro football. He obviously, I mean, look, you guys know the deal. I don't have to tell you the resume, but I'll say this. He's coached in five of the last six Super Bowls. Think about that. The man has coached in five of the last six. He has won.
It doesn't get better.
He has won three, obviously, and had a tremendous run with the Eagles and an even better run with the Kansas City Chiefs. But most important, we all know the two most important things Andy Reid ever did. Number one was signing John Ritchie 22 years ago. Because without that, Ritchie...
That was 22 years ago?
03, man.
Oh, come on.
Without that, I'm not saddled with John Ritchie next to me as a talk show host. But, and the other drafting Brandon Graham. And we honored the great BG on Monday with BG Day. And Andy, kind enough to carve out a few minutes to talk about Brandon Graham, who he drafted 15 years ago. The coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. Good to talk to you guys. John, man, it's been a little bit, but I sure appreciate you.
I love and miss you, respect you so much, Coach. And once upon a time, you held my son, Joe, at an event where we were sitting at a table with the NFC Championship trophy added. It was a luncheon. And I thought at that moment, this is something I need to take a picture in my brain, because Andy Reid, the legend, is holding my son. That son, man, that was the year we went to the Super Bowl in Jacksonville.
How about that? How's he doing?
That little boy, he wants to be a neurosurgeon. He's at the University of Michigan, and he always talks about the fact that you held him at that table. You are the man who held my son, inspired him as a 6-month-old somehow, Coach. So,
well, tell him this. Finish up
his
internship or whatever he's doing right now.
Yep.
And then When the NFL has fried my brain, I'm coming to him so he can repair it.
I'll let him know. I know. I'm in that line as well.
That's so good. You know, Andy, we got so much Brandon Graham stuff, obviously, to do with you today, and we really appreciate you, you know, honoring Brandon, essentially what you're doing here, honoring Brandon's career. But I just want to start with you with Richie. I mean, can you imagine all those years ago that John Richie becomes a talk show host on WIP? What the heck?
What? Well, now listen, he's the smartest guy I've probably ever coached, and at the same time being dirty tough. And so that position that he played, that was a no grace position where you were getting the dog, you're beating the dog out of somebody, but at the same time you're waking up the next morning very sore.
That's for sure.
He wakes up early.
I appreciate that Coach appreciated that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it changed your life, John. Because, John, all jokes aside, I was sort of kidding earlier, but it's real. You probably would not be a WIP talk show host today if you didn't have those 2 years in Philly.
No, absolutely
if
not.
If Andy hadn't signed you.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, it was a dream come true, and Coach put me in a limo to Mechanicsburg after I signed. He said, hey, why don't you go tell your folks in person? And, I mean, that was not part of the plan.
That's cool,
man. It was Coach Reid saying, hey, do the family thing.
Great.
And it was so wonderful. And that's the touch that he puts on all of this. And that's why it's so cool to talk about Brandon with you today, Coach.
Yeah, let's do that, Andy. So, BG, you brought him to town 15 years ago, and we'll kind of go through a few elements of it. Let's just start with the pre-draft evaluation of Brandon. What do you remember all those years ago when you were scouting Michigan's Brandon Graham? What enticed you to select him?
Yeah, first of all, I love Michigan players, and he was one of them, as was John at one time. So this guy was extremely quick, extremely strong, a great kid, and was just somebody in a position of need at that time. And for him to come in and do the things that he's done has just been spectacular. To play this long at that grunt position, man, that's a tough, tough position to play, and to do it for all these years is something. Everybody, you know, he had this thing, his arms were too short, or he wasn't tall enough or long enough, you know, whatever the terms are that we all put on players and destroy great ones, you know, with. So he didn't have the longest arms. He wasn't the tallest or longest guy, but he played with a big heart and played every snap. You're going to get an honest down from him. And he has great athletic ability.
Coach, how rare is Brandon Graham's enthusiasm? I mean, that energy that he brought every day, how often do you see that in a guy?
No, you love that. And it was that way when he was young, and he carried that through when he was old. And sometimes guys kind of lose that stinger there as they age up, but he never lost that. And I was lucky enough to play against him or have our team play against him the last couple Super Bowls here. And what a great, you know, he still had that energy. And at the Super Bowls, you get to see the guys. You have different events that you have to go to as teams, and you're there together. And just to see him, and, you know, he about broke my ribs with a big hug. So he's just, if you can get me off the ground with a hug, you've done good. And he did that. So,
He's got, yeah, he can dig deep like that. That is something.
Yeah.
But you're slender now. I mean, we all see that. So that is interesting. When you talk about preparing for playing against Brandon, you're one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game. What extra stuff do you sprinkle on top when you're coaching a Kansas City offensive lineman to prepare to block Brandon Graham, having drafted and coached him for those 3 years?
Yeah, first of all, you got to know where he's at, and then wherever he's at, you got to make sure you have that extra guy there, whether it's an offensive lineman working to him, an extra offensive lineman working to him, or a back chipping him, or a tight end chipping him. But you got to know where he's at all times, and you got to do it for four quarters.
Yeah.
Andy Reid with us here on WIP, of course, talking about BG. It's BG Day on Monday. Andy carving out some time right now for Brandon, obviously, to honor him. So, you know, Andy, one of the things that, and you know, was such a talking point when you brought him in 15 years ago was the fan base expected Earl Thomas, when you moved up, that was going to be an Earl Thomas pick. There was also a safety need at that point, and it ultimately worked out great. By the way, worked out good for Seattle, worked out great for the Eagles. Eagles won two titles. We've always wondered, how close did you come to selecting Earl Thomas? Do you remember? Was it between those two? Because we thought you were going to take Earl. You took BG. How close was that one?
Yeah, Earl was in the picture for sure. We kind of had our eyes set on Brandon. He had a great Senior Bowl, as I recall. And we needed a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
We had gotten spoiled with Hugh Douglas, and you know, we felt like we needed another guy and to fill in there, and Brandon was able to do that for us.
Andy, what did you notice? Because you coached him during the years he was really struggling. I mean, he got off to a tough start. What did you notice with how he dealt with the struggles? Because he turned into an all-time Eagle. I mean, the Eagles maybe they might retire his number. I mean, he's a legendary Eagle. But you got him when he was struggling. There were some injuries. How did you sense he dealt with all that?
Yeah, he fought. He fought himself. He had this this young, enthusiastic makeup with him, not really immature, but the love of the game and his desire to be great and all those things. When he came up against a stiff competition that he had and wasn't used to, you know, and you might play against one of these offensive linemen in a year at the college level. Now you come in and you're a high pick here, and you've got to come in and try to win every play. And if you don't, then you're going to have that media come down on you, and it's a tough deal. So I didn't think he handled that great when he was young, but he worked through it, and he fought him. He was fighting himself there. And so that conflict ended up making him even stronger. And as he went on through through his career, but he overcame it. A lot of guys don't, they just collapse, fall apart, and they're done with the NFL.
Yeah.
There's a certain stigma that comes with being a high draft pick and expectation level, and sometimes it's not reasonable.
Andy, final thing here. You know, we're going to play this audio for Brandon on Monday when he's with us in studio, but if you could just, you know, whatever you've got from your heart, a message to Brandon to honor him. We're going to play this audio directly for him on Monday upon his retirement. What would you say to BJ?
Yeah, no, listen, I love Brandon Graham. He is one of the all-time greats for the Eagles. And not only was he a great player, but he's a great person. I call him a kid, but I mean, he's past the kid stage now. So he's just a great person. And that part and his work ethic are going to carry him through the second half of his life and career and our new career. And so, but listen, Brandon Graham's, he's a great one. Love him.
Andy, we wish you the best.
Coach. You are an unbelievable person, too, and we love you and respect you a lot.
I appreciate you. Love you, my man.
Andy,
keep it rolling.
Stay Thanks. Well, Andy. Our best to you. Thank and maybe you. A trilogy next year in February. So absolute best of luck to you. Thanks for all you did for the Eagles and Philadelphia sports, and we look forward to catching up with you down the road. Thanks, Andy.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right, there he is, the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, who, by the way, obviously someday, but he's got to retire for it to happen.
And why would he?
Eagles Hall of Fame.
Why would he retire?
Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall of Fame. None of them can happen until he retires. So we'll see. By the way, he's got a real shot at Shula's record, especially with Belichick going off the rails.
Think of the coaching trees that he has created.
I know.
That he has generated. He is, man.
I hear you, man. All right, so, and by the way, of course, we would have loved the coverage. We would have loved to cover a lot of other ground with Andy, but he had limited time, and we wanted to get him on specifically to talk about BG, who, of course, we honor on Monday. All right, you just heard Seltzer play the breaking news sound. Breaking news on WIP, presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. James, what do you got?
Jordan Schultz reporting sources. The Eagles are exercising the fifth-year option on defensive tackle Jordan Davis, locking in the guaranteed $12.9 million salary for the 2026 season.
I think it's a mistake. I do. We had a poll yesterday. 70% of people wanted them to do it. John and I were part of the 30% that did not want them to do it. I think it's a mistake.
Well, let's plan on him playing 50-plus snaps a game.
Ain't going to do it. He's not going to do it. He's what he is. And by the way, he's a very good run stopper. He's a unique player with his size. They really don't have anyone else that's quite like him.
He is a unique run stopper.
Yeah, he is.
He is able to
He's good at what he's good at. He's,
and hold a couple blockers on every play if that's what you need. And in that base 3-4, a lot of times that does help the guys behind him.
But here's my thing.
We still need to see more penetration against the pass. We still need to see him able to tackle a quarterback and get him on the ground.
But they might not need him to do that. Like, they have so many other guys
who can
do
that.
But for that
money, I want him to be able to do that at least marginally.
Not going
to
happen.
I like
it. So he gets more than 20 snaps.
Fangio must like it because, you know, his fingerprints are all over this. And if he doesn't want him back, they don't exercise.